good morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Thursday morning, we might get some rain today. Parts of the province, it's cloudy in a lot of the province right now, but there's the possibility of showers, which farmers glaring up at the sky out of the cab of their combine, hoping that they can continue on with the harvest. We are in prime harvest time right now. No one wants to shut down. Although moisture, I know that farmers will always say moisture is welcome, but once you get going with harvest, you don't want to slow down, and there are a lot of people hoping that the rain will hold off so that they can keep going. Well, we have got a lot going on, lots of different things we could talk about. We are opening up the lines for you at 1-877-332-8255. That's phone lines are open. The text lines are open. I want to talk Jimmy Kimmel this morning. I want to talk rider tailgating this morning. I want to talk your ability to get into the States could be impacted by what you put on social media. We have more what I'm going to call Trudeau-era ministers in the federal government that are headed for diplomatic appointments. So you wonder, is this just the natural churn that happens federally, or is this further attempts to take a couple of people who may not be totally agreeing with the direction the Carney government is going and moving them out of caucus? Lots of speculation online about that. So phone lines are officially open for you. Let's start with Jimmy Kimmel. So this is such an interesting, this story on Jimmy Kimmel and his, what they're calling a indefinite preemption off the air. So they have preempted him indefinitely. So they're not saying he's canceled. They're not saying he's fired. They're saying he's preempted indefinitely. This story has more twists and turns than a lake road does. And it all starts with, well, perhaps it actually goes back much further than his comments this week, because Jimmy Kimmel, as a late night talk show host, has done what I would call news satire, obviously, his whole career, poking fun at the government, poking fun at leaders, all of those types of things. There is no doubt he is not a Trump supporter. There is no doubt. And I'm not a Jimmy Kimmel fan. In fact, I don't know the last time I watched Jimmy Kimmel live. I don't watch the show, but I do see clips online. I see small posts. And I mean, he's a Trump hater. No doubt about that. His comments this week that started this chain reaction.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction.
Okay, so those are the comments Kimmel makes, and he continues to make other jokes as well. So clearly, off the start, he himself is trying to couch Charlie Kirk's killer as a MAGA supporter, which he's clearly not, right? He's clearly not a Donald Trump or a MAGA supporter. In fact, all the stories that have come out have talked about how he and his family were at odds because his family is supporting Donald Trump. He has different views. So that's pretty clear. So Jimmy Kimmel, whether he's misleading, lying, whatever you want to call that. At the end of the day, those are pretty consistent jokes that I would say he has made over time. He makes jokes about Donald Trump. He pokes fun at the president. He can be very cutting in his humor, as a lot of the late night hosts can be. What happens, though, is this takes some twists and turns off the air. In the United States, they have what we have the CRTC, which regulates broadcasters. They have the Federal Communications Commission, otherwise known as the FCC. Their chair, Brendan Carr, was on Benny Johnson's podcast yesterday and was talking about Jimmy Kimmel and suggested that the FCC could revoke ABC affiliate licenses as a way to force Disney to punish Kimmel. He basically said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct and take actions on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead. So, I mean, he's insinuating you deal with it or we'll deal with it, is what he said. So, Jimmy Kimmel makes his comments. FCC Chair Brendan Carr makes those comments. And what happened next was Nexstar, which operates about two dozen ABC affiliates, and they are a big TV company in the States. They issued a press release saying it strongly objects to Kimmel's remarks and its stations would replace the show with other programming in its ABC-affiliated markets. So, that's pretty big news, and it wasn't long after that. In fact, it was minutes after Nexstar criticized Kimmel publicly. ABC themselves, the company, said that the show was being yanked nationwide. So, if you break this apart, there's a few different levels to this. Number one, again, not a Jimmy Kimmel fan. Couldn't tell you the last time I watched his show. But at the end of the day, that's the nature of these shows. You like them or you don't like them. You watch them or you don't watch them. I cannot stand, cannot stand The View. The TV show The View. Whoopi Goldberg, if I ever thought she was a good actress, I can't remember if I did, but if I did, I don't now. Because I just cannot stand her views. I cannot stand her. You want to talk about a woke program, The View is that. So I just simply don't watch it. Right? I mean, that's my choice. That's the beauty. We all have these choices. I'm not watching that show. So if you don't like Jimmy Kimmel, you don't watch him. But at the end of the day, with freedom of speech and all the rest of it, is this I'll say fireable offense, knowing that he wasn't fired. He's been temporarily or indefinitely pulled off the air. Is that something that should have got him pulled off the air? Or does that encroach upon freedom of speech? I am a guy who last week was standing here defending Charlie Kirk because of freedom of speech. Yeah, there's a few things Charlie Kirk said through the years that I don't agree with. I didn't follow the guy closely or whatever, but freedom of speech allows, as long as you are not stepping over the line that steps into hate speech and you can be held accountable, you know, criminally, people are allowed to make these speeches, make these statements. And Charlie Kirk was one of those people, and he should not have lost his life for simply voicing what he believed is true. I believe that, and I will forever say that. But I can't speak out of, I can't have a double standard. I have to be able to say Jimmy Kimmel too should be able to say what he wants to say, as long as it conforms with the standards, without fear that the federal government is going to step in because they feel like you're saying something that's opposing them or poking fun at them or diminishing them, that they can step in and say, we're going to yank your license. But the third side of this is, because I don't for a second believe that the FCC chair should have, Brendan Carr, should have made those statements publicly on a podcast. I mean, come on. If you're the chair of the FCC, if you're the chair of the CRTC, I would think there's a boardroom and there's legal ways in which you take those steps. You don't just go on the air and make the statement. But the fact that he did didn't compel ABC or its affiliate stations to yank him off. This is where the twists continue. This happened because the company, Nexstar, is in the middle of a huge merger. They are trying to acquire essentially another big U.S. station group, which is their main competition. And in order for this to happen, they need FCC to loosen the government's limits on broadcasting station ownership, and they need to approve it. So knowing the FCC needs to approve this, Nexstar makes the decision, right? I mean, you can't say the federal government made the decision. Yes, you had someone insinuate that this should happen, but the decision is made by a broadcasting company because they want to curry favor with the federal government. They want to curry favor with the FCC, and they want to get this merger approved and ultimately the regulations loosened to the point that they can make this acquisition of their main competitor. There is a lot going on here. I don't believe Jimmy Kimmel said anything that is worth them pulling him off the air. I'm not saying I love the guy. I'm not saying I agree with him. I already said he is trying to create a narrative about the shooter of Charlie Kirk that is false. Clearly. Is that worth him being fired? Think about the number of attacks that different stations in the state took on Joe Biden through the years. Would we support Joe Biden through the FCC? And there have been attempts of the FCC to curtail political speak on different TV stations in the past. It seems like an attack on freedom of speech, is my point. So, having said all of that, we're going to head into a break. Then we will come back. Phone lines will be open at 1-877-332-8255, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition, construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish.
Thank you so much for joining us. We've been chatting about Jimmy Kimmel, who has been what they're calling preempted indefinitely. We're talking about how that equates to freedom of speech. I got a text from Julian Battleford saying, yeah, freedom of speech does exist. What people tend to forget is consequences of that freedom of speech. Kimmel now gets to experience those consequences. TJ from Rostern says, hey, Evan, I really can't believe you'd support outright lying on national TV. Free speech shouldn't cover lies. So this is where I'm going with this is there has to be a difference between a late night talk show and the national news or a news broadcast. Late night talk shows, like I'm going to come back to The View. And this is becoming more of an Evan Hates the View segment, but I can't stand that TV show. And I don't like what they say. I don't agree with what they say. I think it gets twisted. There have been times where I feel like that's not true. They're not yanked off the air. They're an opinion-based piece of entertainment. And you can find them on the far right, far left spectrums for sure on TV. Some would argue on mainstream TV, you have to hunt harder to find them on the far right. That's probably a fair assessment, but that's my point. So this isn't about me supporting lies. This is about me trying to understand where does this whole narrative of freedom of speech actually fit in? Let's go to Cal in Oxbow. Thanks for calling. Your response to what happened with Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, I am not a Jimmy Kimmel fan, and I don't watch late night anymore. I mean, his first joke about fourth stage of grief was actually kind of funny, but then he goes off the rails, right, with going right. So, I mean, I can take a joke like anybody else, but I did a little bit of looking, Evan, just so you know. I don't want to talk off, you know, just off the top of my head without the First Amendment does, in the U.S., the First Amendment does protect individuals from government censorship. But not consequences like that, like your texter texted in, consequences imposed by private employers. And he is a private employee. Yeah. So if the government doesn't step in, right? Sorry, you were going to say something, Evan?
No, you were going with that point where I said, may have been offside for the FCC chair to say that, but it wasn't him that pulled him off the air. It was ABC and its affiliates. That's what the point you're making.
And I believe that employers can have the right to suspend a show or to fire employees. I mean, even me calling in, I mean, I suppose I could say something on the air with Evan Bray, and if my employer doesn't like it, I believe they have the right to let me go if they want to, even though I have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech protects me that I can say all kinds of things. And I agree with you. Even lies, unfortunately, on these entertainment shows, that's why it's important that people look at all kinds of different information from different sources to try and figure out who is telling them the truth and who isn't. So
I appreciate, I appreciate your thoughts, Cal.
Yep.
Thank you so much for calling in. A couple of texters wanting to remind everyone that Carr was appointed by Donald Trump. So again, Brendan Carr, the FCC chair, the Federal Communications Commission chair, who was on Benny Johnson's podcast, who made the suggestion that licenses could get pulled as a way to force Disney to punish Kimmel. But I don't want to lead you to believe that it was the FCC who made the decision. They could have influenced it. And even that influence, if this big merger wasn't about to happen, if you weren't seeing Nexstar, the parent company to a bunch of ABC affiliates, wanting to acquire its competition and requiring the FCC to loosen government regulations, would they have done this? And this, by the way, I mean, Donald Trump recently, I think just this morning in a news conference from the UK, said, you know, this was largely because Kimmel's not funny and his ratings were tanking. I have no idea what his ratings were like. Like I said, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched Jimmy Kimmel. Could be that his ratings are tanking, and maybe that's part of it. I know when Colbert was pulled off the air or announced that he would be discontinued, they talked about his ratings being a part of that as well. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, I've got a number of people on the line that don't want to talk about Jimmy Kimmel. There's so many things going on. Believe it or not, there's more to life than Jimmy Kimmel. I get that. So I will get to some more of your texts, but I want to get to our phone lines. I got Carrie. I got Edwin. I've got Poseidon, if that is your real name. I've got a number of people standing by to chat on a variety of things, and I want to talk tailgating as well when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Can I kick it?
Yes, we can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, we can.
Well, I'm gone.
I think it would be a really neat addition to the Game Time experience and lend itself to people maybe staying in the city, you know, coming out of town, staying overnight for a couple days, you know, kind of make it a longer experience when you come in for the game. So I would lean on our experts to make sure we do it in a very safe way, that it's set up well. But overall, I think it could be a great experience.
That's Mayor Chad Baczynski from Regina and his thoughts on tailgating for Rider games. They are exploring this opportunity. This just announced yesterday afternoon. The green and white party at Mosaic Stadium could get a lot bigger if this comes into play. They're working with the government of Saskatchewan, the city of Regina, because there's some regulation changes. There's some bylaw work that would have to be done to allow this. But I said this earlier, I am all in on this idea. I love the idea that they want to set up a tailgating experience. If you've had the experience of tailgating in the United States or anywhere that does it properly, I'm not talking about a line of food trucks. This is really about people having fun, visiting, games, maybe even a little hibachi barbecue out there, cooking up some hot dogs or something. I mean, that's tailgating. Lots of fun. I love it. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it as well. And we are in open lines. So happy to get your texts and calls on the thought of tailgating at Rider games. 1-877-332-8255. Quickly before we go to back to the phone line, because there's a number of people that want to talk about a variety of issues. Before we go back, just on the Jimmy Kimmel thing, a couple of texts. Josh in Saskatoon: I firmly support freedom of speech. That said, there's an important distinction between opinion and fact. Those with broad platforms and access to large audiences have a responsibility to stay within the boundaries of truth when presenting information. Pure opinion should be free to express without fear on any of the many social media platforms like Charlie Kirk does. So Josh saying, okay on social media with total free opinion, but if you're on a broad, large platform, it should be different. I mean, Charlie, I would argue, I don't know what Jimmy Kimmel's ratings were, but I would argue Charlie Kirk had a bigger audience. You look at how many millions of people followed Charlie Kirk. I don't know that you can say just because he was on a social media platform, he had less followers. Anyway, I got a few texts here, one from Lorraine that I want to read, where she basically says, If you follow the logic that Jimmy Kimmel should be held responsible for this, what about Fox News Channel's host, Brian Kilmeade? Question mark. So if you knew this story, he was the one, he just actually apologized on Sunday for advocating for the execution of mentally ill homeless people in a discussion on the network last week. He said, my remark was extremely callous, and he apologized for it. So they were talking about the public money that was being spent to try and help homeless people and suggested that those who didn't accept services offered to them should be jailed. And then he went on to say, given, I think he said something like a lethal injection. He basically insinuated they should be killed. So, and I mean, he hasn't lost his job yet, whether he will or not. So thanks for the text, the people that are texting in on that. And lastly, on this topic, I mentioned Donald Trump in a news conference had some comments this morning on the changes to the Jimmy Kimmel show. Here's what Donald Trump had to say.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else. And he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not. He was fired for lack of talent.
Okay, so we're going to move on. I want to go to the phone lines and we'll start in Regina. Poseidon on the line. Government issues. What's your topic of discussion this morning, my friend?
Well, and it all circular coincides. You want to talk about Brian Kilmeade here because he kind of caused me to course to correct with some of your viewer listeners there. Brian Kilmeade, how soon was it before he said or before he had to apologize and before Fox identified what he said was wrong? How long has Jimmy Kimmel been spewing his rhetoric? For many, many years. So for people that are trying to say, oh, well, Brian Kilmeade, yeah, that was wrong. But it's terrible. And this goes back to saying, as far as Jimmy Kimmel too, he's spewing rhetoric that is supporting somebody that got killed. Like, I don't care how people want to spill it and spin it. That's exactly what happened here, which leads me to my main point talking about healthcare. You guys covered this, talking about Saskatoon Correctional Center expands the, it's complete now. It started in 2020 with the addition of 312 beds for men in custody. So, and your own news station, News Talk 980, covered this, talking about how, and it's like, you guys are just covering what you're told here, to give inmates more support. So with all this rhetoric, all this ideology that people need to be harmed, let's call a spade here, Evan. People that they're claiming people need to be harmed, and they are giving people more comfort when they're incarcerated. How much percentage have we seen of people that are incarcerated? In this case, this news article was talking about men that were incarcerated, but yet hospitals, our healthcare, we want to talk about walk-in clinics, which doesn't exist in this province anymore. You want to go to a walk-in clinic? Guess what you need to do? And look at the ratings, Evan. Look at the ratings. You look and people are saying you need to call in. The reception is terrible. The way the doctors handle incoming patients is terrible. But yet we can spend, what did they spend here? 150. $135 million, Evan, on expanding the comfort of criminals. But we cannot expand the province's healthcare.
So is your issue with basically the province's priorities? Is that where you're going?
Well, 100%. Plus, I mean, the whole point of it, when we want to talk about rhetoric, because again, I'm course correcting, people that are talking about, well, again, this person is doing this wrong, that person is doing that wrong, which causes people to get killed. They're increasing incarceration support for people because everybody is getting incarcerated these days, but they can't provide proper health care, Evan.
Yeah.
I think that's a major talking point, and Poseidon is talking truth.
Well, you're right. I mean, they did a major renovation to the Saskatoon Correctional Center. It was the provincial government, part of a budgeted series of budgets over a number of years to make those changes there. And we covered it no different than we would cover healthcare or whatever else. So it was something that was brought out as a priority from the province. Healthcare is a priority. We talk about that almost daily on this program. I don't know what to tell you. But I appreciate the call, 1-877-332-8255. Carrie, in Saskatoon, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Evan. Yeah, I was a little concerned that the defense attorney that's representing this police officer in Saskatoon over this case about being removed from duty is talking about how this person that this friend he was friends with, this Hell's Angel, was, you know, that was in his past, except that everything I've heard was that this was a current associate of the Hell's Angels. No one had ever said the word he was a past associate. And it could be that I'm a little sensitive. My neighbor was killed by an affiliate of Hell's Angels in 2012, innocent lady murdered in Saskatoon. So there's a lot of danger involved with the Hell's Angels, and people need to wake up to the fact that we have to be vigilant. So
it's an interesting case. I have to admit, I don't know a ton about it, but I follow it, obviously, in the media. Chief Cam McBride made the decision that the officer was dismissed from the police service as a result of his affiliation, which in Chief McBride's view brought about, cast some doubt on the transparency, on the trust that the community would have. Even the testimony, and this is a public hearing, so people can go down and watch this hearing. It's been taking place this week in Saskatoon. Even the testimony from people that work within the Saskatoon Police Service leads us to believe that there was concern within the service about the connection between this officer and this affiliate with a outlaw motorcycle gang. People that were crime analysts and other officers speaking about, yeah, he was, you know, a bit tentative because I knew he had this connection. And it sounded like a fairly recent and ongoing friendship. So it comes down to the question, is it okay for a police officer to have a current, active, ongoing friendship with someone who is associated to an outlaw motorcycle gang like Hell's Angels? That's the crux of what we're talking about here. So it'll be interesting. I mean, next time I have Chief McBride on, we'll talk, I'm sure, about this. I don't know that he had any choice but to let this officer go, just based on what I'm viewing coming out in the news media. But we'll continue to follow this along and see where Ronnie Nordahl is the hearing officer. Back in the day, I fired a police officer, went to the public hearing because that has to happen, and Ronnie Nordahl was the hearing officer and ordered that officer back to work. So I guess it's possible that the hearing officer might find a conclusion that is different than where Chief Cam McBride landed, but we'll wait and see on that one. Let's take a break. We will come back, go back and finish up on the phone lines and our text conversations here. Open lines this morning on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
In Regina today, there are homes where the tap water is actually hazardous to drink. Blood work confirmed that all three of my children had lead in their blood. I don't know how the results compare to the average population or if it was directly related to our exposure to lead, but I do know this. No amount of lead in a child's blood is safe. I was terrified. I'd heard there could be lead in Regina's water, but I never thought it could be this high or dangerous.
Not the first time water in Regina has been a topic of discussion. This week we heard that it was possible alarms were going off that were indicating that potentially as a result of the rain and the storm, wastewater was going into Regina's, into the creek, which ultimately could be into Regina's water supply. We have since heard from city administration. In fact, this morning, Mayor Chad Baczynski confirming that, yes, the alarms went off saying the level's getting high, but indeed no wastewater did spill over. So it should be fine. But those narratives, of course, get people very, very worried. Well, we have got an interesting conversation going on the text line, a whole bunch of things. Number one, there's a number of people, and thank you all who texted in, that share my opinion about The View. I do not like that TV show. It's on during the week while I'm on. So it's only if I happen to be off or holidays or whatever the case may be that I flip through the TV and it might be on there. But I do not stop on that channel. I got a text from Dan saying, I would sooner listen to magpies screaming in the tree by my bedroom window at 5 in the morning than listen to The View on TV for 3 seconds. A number of texts. So a lot of people are saying, you know, the days of David Letterman and Johnny Carson and Jay Leno are a bygone era. Scott and Silton saying, Kimmel, Colbert, all of these new talk shows are very, very different. The old ones, yes, they poked fun at politics, but it was not as cutting. It was not as slanted. It was not as jagged-edged, someone put it in a text, as what we see today. Here's another text, this one from Dan. Late night television has slipped a long way since David Letterman and Jay Leno. Kimmel was fired because he wasn't funny. Colbert is the same. Here's a text from Joanne in Saskatoon. Lengthy text, but I'm going to read it. Hi, Evan. I think it needs to be looked at as a whole, not just one incident. The late night talk shows are purely entertainment, and when Trump took office, they all knew they were on the chopping block. However, the same way Turning Point USA is able to travel and express their opinions by way of freedom of speech, so do the late night talk show hosts. The late night talk shows that poke fun at Trump and the administration is absolutely no different than the right-leaning supporters talking the same way about left-leaning supporters. When you listen to the media interviews with Trump and UK Prime Minister this morning, a lot of the reporters asking questions addressing freedom of speech in the United States, Donald Trump keeps saying it's because of the ratings. The world can see what is happening. He also discussed the very rich investors who will be purchasing TikTok for America. So Joanne with a lengthy text here in on that. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to take your call, your text on whatever. We don't have to stay on Jimmy Kimmel, but it seems to be maybe the hot topic today. And let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. How are you today, Ken?
I'm fine, Evan. And it's really too bad about the restrictions on your freedom of speech. Because you know that there are things you could say that would get you fired.
Yep. You're right.
You just know that. There are restrictions. There are constraints that are made there. It has nothing to do with whether you have a freedom of speech or not. You are employed. I once had a job where my employer told me I was no longer to call into the John Gormley show, not because there was any specific thing. They just didn't want to take the risk.
Your employer told you that?
Yeah. And so, and I didn't. You know,
interesting.
But because John could be rather controversial, maybe at a few times.
Really?
So yeah. So when it comes to Jimmy Kimmel, if he had just done the bit about Trump being in mourning and then did that clip of him, that would have been fine. There's actually a joke and a punchline there. The bit that he was doing, where he was trying to make it seem as if a MAGA had killed Charlie Clark, was completely gratuitous, and I can see somebody like Sinclair Broadcasting Group is now going to be doing a special remembrance to Charlie Kirk. The question is, when it comes to these affiliates, where are their stations? Who are their customers?
Mm-hmm.
And if they found Jimmy Kimmel to be saying something, especially at a time that you should be attempting to heal the nation, that did nothing to heal the nation for sure.
Mm.
So I can see Sinclair saying, no, you know what? We don't want to show that in our broadcast area, and we are trying to heal things, not divide the nation.
Ken, I not only do I appreciate your calls, but I'm happy that your employer lets you call into the Evan Bray Show. Thanks so much for the call. 1-877-332-8255. So that number, don't lose it, because even though we are wrapping up open lines, we actually have 2 hours ahead, each one focusing on a different topic. We're about to talk cryptocurrency, a topic which I know very little. I don't even know that I could say I'm a 1 out of 10 in my cryptocurrency knowledge. I will be higher after this next segment. And then at 11 o'clock, we bring in an expert on AI, including what jobs are at risk and AI chatbots. Are they a great thing for society? Or are they dangerous? So both of those segments offer opportunities for you to ask questions. It's going to be great dialogue. Thanks for being here today on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.